Hello, Katie here, just to let you know that you're listening to a replay of my interview with Dakshina, who now regularly writes at the Home Ed Voices blog. And while the old blurb at the end of the podcast is going to direct you to my old blog, if you want the show notes and more episodes of the podcast, you actually want to go to homeedvoices.co.uk. And now over to me from the past to tell you more about the episode. Hi, I'm Katie, and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This week I'm talking to Dakshina, and we talk about getting our heads around the idea that every education has gaps, and that that's okay. We fangirl over the calming influence of Julie Bogart, and we talk about all things game schooling. And now, on with the interview. This week, I'm talking to Dakshina. Hello, thank you very much for coming.
Hi.
I really appreciate you coming to talk to me.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Not a problem at all. Right, let's start. Tell me a bit about your family.
I'm Dakshina and I'm a homeschooling mum. I also work, part-time from home as the child protection officer for a charity. I've been married to my husband for about 13 years now. He's a firefighter and we have two girls, Vishaka, the eldest, who's almost 11, and Ishvari, who just turned 7. We also have two bunnies, Coco and Cherry.
Aww.
My daughters were like, you better mention them.
They are part of the family.
Part of the family, yep.
Are they indoor bunnies or outdoor bunnies?
No, outdoor, yeah. I'm not really a pet person at all. And my sister kind of just bought them as a birthday present without really checking with us. So, unexpected pet owners.
So how did you get started in home education?
So we kind of heard about it a few years ago from somebody we knew, and we met her kids, who were actually young adults then, and they were just like the most intelligent, smartest, like really nice, kind, polite kids, and we were just so impressed with them. So we kind of just picked her brain a bit about, you know, how she did it and what she was doing. And my husband actually was really into it a lot more than I was at the time. But we kind of discussed it and we thought, you know, the kind of relationship that she has with her kids, I just kind of hadn't really seen that with other children. And I was really impressed. So we thought, okay, you know what, let's just try it. And if it doesn't work, it's not the end of the world. We just put them back in school. So basically here we are. Still home-educating.
So how long ago was that?
So that was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and this is our fourth year homeschooling now.
Right. So your kids so they were originally in school, and then you took them out of
yes.
school, is that right?
Yes.
Was there a difficult transition? I mean, did you de-school and all that?
Not really, no. I think they were kind of, the little one was, you know, young enough, really.
Yeah.
She was only in school for a year. And then Vishaka, no, it was kind of just very natural to be at home with them. I was actually quite surprised that it was not as difficult as, you know, I'd kind of maybe thought or expected.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
That's cool. So what do you love about home education?
I actually love all of it, you know. Of course, it's like challenging, but I just love hanging out with my kids. You know, I get to spend time with them and, you know, like they are such like funny and like quirky people. And I think, God, if they were in school, I would just miss so much, you know, so many things that they say or that they do that I would just never be able to, you know, be a part of.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we also love traveling. So like every year my husband takes them to India for 3 weeks and they travel around. He's taken them on like a whole road trip of Ireland, which is where he's from. Yeah. We've done road trips through Europe. They go to the Canary Islands every year. So it's like just the kind of freedom that if they were in school, they wouldn't really have these opportunities.
No, not at all.
And, you know, the flexibility as well, of course, it's like I can really tailor their education to their interests and their desires. And if we're studying something and they're just super bored, it's like, okay, we can just move on, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And also, like if they're really enjoying something, you can kind of stick with it for longer and kind of let it
branch off
in different things, which works really nicely.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like sometimes we start off studying something completely different and it will lead us down so many different rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And like even recently, we were just studying World War II, and we kind of read a little bit about the Morse code, and that just really piqued their interest. That it ended up being like, you know, we did a whole side project on secret codes.
Oh,
and
cool.
It's kind of like a bit of stealth learning going on because there's like some maths involved, and you know, but I honestly think that, you know, when it's something that they're interested in, that's when real learning will happen, you know, because yeah. Of course they will, if you, you know, try and get them to remember facts and retain information, yeah, of course they will be able to, but it's not like you're lighting the fire of, you know, curiosity or anything, is it?
No, but also I think when they're really interested in stuff, they learn about learning.
Yes, exactly.
Nobody teaches, like even schools don't teach everything. So you have to come away with the skills to be able to learn other things that you don't know that you're going to need in your life, kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Like that's what I was just saying to my husband the other day. I was saying that, you know, like one of my biggest worries that I kind of have about homeschooling is, am I doing enough? You know, am I teaching as much as they would be learning in school? And he said the same thing. He's like, but even in school, they don't learn, you know, everything about everything. It's just not possible. So I was like, yeah, actually, it's true. There are going to be natural kind of gaps in their education. And that's okay. Yeah. Because as long as I'm kind of, rather than focusing on like mastering specific content, if I focus on helping them, like you said, you know, skills on how to learn, how to analyze things, how to ask questions, how to think critically.
Yeah, definitely.
Then even if there are gaps in their knowledge, it's okay, because when the time comes, they'll be able to learn what they need to, you know. Like, I kind of read this statistic somewhere, I'm not really sure where, but it's something like, you know, society is evolving so rapidly that they reckon by the time our kids are employed, more than 60% of the jobs that they'll be doing don't even exist right now. So I
believe it. Like, you know,
yeah.
The internet didn't properly exist as something that ordinary people could use until I was kind of at the point of doing my A-levels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Same. Yeah, exactly.
Know, and like all these jobs that existed, you know, that exist now that we just didn't know about when we were at school because they didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't really teach them specific skills, you know, like kind of content-based knowledge. It's more like teach them how to learn and how to teach themselves. And I think those are more valuable skills that will be useful to them.
Yeah, totally. So what's the hardest part?
I think just that, you know, just kind of worrying still about, you know, doubts, having doubts about whether we're doing the right thing. Sometimes it's like really hard to kind of balance, you know, homeschool with housework and relationships and, you know, try and get the balance right. But I guess that's something, you know, like most people, even if they're not homeschooling, they might kind of struggle with. It's just the society we live in, isn't it? But yeah, I think my kind of main thing that I struggle with is just constant like doubt, self-doubt, like, am I qualified to do this? Am I doing enough? Am I just completely ruining them?
No, you're not. No, but it's really easy to feel that way, isn't it? Like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So what do you do to try and kind of combat that concern, like that worry?
I think kind of like very early on in my homeschool journey, I was fortunate to come across Julie Bogart from Brave Writer.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure most homeschoolers have heard about her. Yeah.
She calms my worries as well, so I completely understand.
So, yeah, you know, she's like a veteran homeschooler and like her kids are now adults and they're living in different countries doing like, you know, really wonderful things. And like she offers so much for free, you know, so many YouTube videos and Facebook videos and podcasts, and she shares her experience and wisdom. And I really felt like I was so lucky to come across her early on because she's really like, even though I've not really had much personal contact with her, but just through all her resources, I really felt like she's kind of held my hand through, you know, homeschooling. Even now, like, even though I've been doing it for a few years now, if I kind of have doubts and fears, I'll kind of listen to something she says or read something, and it just instantly makes me feel better and kind of reassured that, you know what, you can do this. And there's you know, there are no educational emergencies. You have time, you know.
Yeah, she's a big you know, she's a big proponent of, you have time to do this.
And yes.
If you take longer on certain things, or it takes longer for certain things to get established, like, you're not doing anything wrong, which is so, it's a huge relief to have somebody, you know, whose children are successful and who, you know, yeah, what I mean, and who is further down the road saying,
yes,
that stuff.
Exactly.
And I also really like that she often talks about, like, you are at home. You do not have,
yes,
to make your home a school. You know what I mean? Like, you are at home and you can bask in that, you know.
Yeah,
which I think,
definitely,
is, you know, because I do think, I mean, I find myself that you can end up just sort of wondering what the kids are doing in school, and are you doing enough?
Comparing, yeah.
Mine is always the balance between, I want them to have lots of time to play, but does, mm-hmm, that count? Like,
yes,
it does count, but, like, sometimes I worry that, like, somebody would look in the window or whatever and be like, well, they're not doing anything.
Yeah, they just play with Legos all day and they don't even get out of their pyjamas.
Yes, exactly. There was no learning. No, there's tons of learning going on.
Of course, yeah. And then sometimes I'm sitting with my child and it's something really simple and I'll be like, how do you not know this, and how have I dropped the ball on this, you know? And it's really easy to kind of spiral into this panic of, like, oh my god, I should send you back to school because they'll do a better job than me. But she's kind of like very reassuring, like, you know what, it's okay, you have time. And like we said, even if it's, you know, even if you don't and there's a gap, it's not the end of the world, you know. Kids who go to school will have gaps in their knowledge, and kids who are homeschooled will have gaps in their knowledge. And it's just kind of accepting that, you know, also accepting your limitations, that you're not going to be able to teach them all the things. I kind of read and listen to Julie a lot. That kind of calms me down a bit.
She's a real gift. She's a real gift for the community. Like,
yeah, definitely. And she's so generous. Like I was saying, she's just got so many free resources available.
So what is a typical day in the life of your home educating family? Is there one?
I think so. I mean, because me and my oldest daughter, we're kind of like real introverts and we need like a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
So we try and make a rule that, okay, at least two, I mean, ideally three, but at least 2 days a week, we have to kind of just be at home.
Yeah.
We kind of, you know, just try and start school about 8 or 9-ish, but sometimes it's a lot later than that. And then we kind of, after breakfast, we do about maybe half an hour to about 45 minutes of our devotional stuff together. So we kind, yeah, of read and worship. And then we'll probably spend maybe, I'd say, about an hour to 2 hours a day doing, you know, like sort of tabletop, you know, schoolwork.
Yes.
And then in the afternoons, we'll kind of do either extracurricular stuff. So they do like swimming or sports, piano, like Vishaka's doing magic club. Otherwise, on days that we're home, they'll just work on their own projects or play. They're both writing stories right now, so they're working on that.
Oh, cool.
Our homeschool kind of revolves a lot around reading aloud and games, playing games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we, I kind of find that, you know, sometimes if there's a bit of, like, gap in their learning or something needs to be reinforced, I can generally do that with playing some games with them. So we have a lot of books and we have a lot of games.
It's good, isn't it, for, like, particularly if there's like stuff that otherwise you'd have to sort of learn by rote, you know, like there's a lot,
yes,
of math stuff that you can kind of, you get them to practice through games rather than, you know, I don't know, like call a response or something like that, or just having to memorize stuff and they don't,
yeah,
realize they're memorizing it, but they,
exactly,
are, they're,
yeah,
desperate to win.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Like, I'm always saying to them, yeah, it's time for game schooling. And they're like, why do you call it game schooling? It's not school at all. I'm like, yeah, it's true. Like, for them, it's just so much fun. They don't even realize that it's just kind of, you know, I mean, it's great. Like even with you know, nowadays they've just got games for everything, you know, like history games and science games and just absolutely any subject you can think of, you can kind of reinforce their learning through play. So and we do lots of read alouds and so that's kind of a typical day, really. Mornings are kind of at home, and then anything that they need to do, like extracurricular stuff, we try and schedule in the afternoon. Or sometimes if it's nice weather, we'll just go and hang out with friends at the splash park.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So what's going on for home educators in your area? Are there a lot of home educators in your area?
Yeah, there are actually tons. And there's so much going on. Like, we're really, really lucky. Sometimes I say to my husband that actually there's too much going on.
Yeah.
It's like just so much to choose from. Like, there's so many, you know, like weekly clubs. There are like loads of informal get togethers. And there's just so many amazing like day trips that people organise that I didn't even know like some of these things existed in my area or in the UK. But it's a really kind of buzzing community. There's lots going on. And then like just the other day we went with a group of homeschooling friends, we went to the Tower of London. The week before that we went to a paper mill, which was really cool because they got to learn like all the history of like paper and paper making, and they even got to like make paper themselves. So there's actually so much. We really are lucky here in Hertfordshire that there's huge community homeschoolers.
I think that's the thing, is everybody thinks, like, I think particularly from the outside, and even I think as people sort of step their toe into the community, that there's like they'll be the only person, or there'll be like four other people in the county or whatever.
Yes.
And then they actually find there's hundreds of them. And as you say, sometimes there's, you know, or quite often there's quite, you know, you have to pick and choose what you do.
Yes.
Because otherwise you'd never be at home, which for some people, I think at those stages in their life where that's good and they get a lot of learning done out and about in the world, but it can get expensive. And you have to kind of, you know, but it also means there's lots of places where people can find like a group of people they fit in with, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, like people that, you know, even now, the first thing people kind of ask me about homeschooling is like, oh, what about friends? You know? And it's like, yeah, they've made friends because they see people, you know, they see the same people regularly at, you know, sports or at swimming or just informal get-togethers at the park. And they have developed friends who probably will be lifelong friends, you know. And same as me, I feel like I've made some really, you know, great friendships. I've met some incredible people through homeschooling. So, yeah, there's definitely so much going on, and you can kind of take as much as you want. And you know, like you said, if you don't want to do tons of stuff, you can hang out at home, but there is the option of being busy every day if you wanted to.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have any resource recommendations for other like home ed parents, like ideas and things?
Yeah, definitely. I would recommend anybody who's not heard about Brave Writer. I would definitely say, you know, you should check it out.
Yeah.
She's got these books as well called A Gracious Space, where it's just like very short readings. And they're just kind of, some of them are about homeschooling. Some of them are just a bit more in general about parenting.
Yeah.
And then there's simplehomeschool.com. I love that website.
Me too.
Yeah, they just have so many, you know, so many different moms that write for that website, that there's always something, like no matter what kind of stage of homeschooling you're at or what age your kids are at, there's always something there that really resonates with me, and it's always food for thought, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And I love the, I don't know if you've seen, they do like this Day in the Life series.
Yes.
I love that. I love being nosy and seeing what everybody else does on a day-to-day basis.
I also really like that you get to see them, like, you know, if you've been reading for a few years, or actually they put the links for the previous years, or usually with the same person, so you can actually go back and see how things have changed. And when you've been reading for a few years, you get a bit attached. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, you kind of want to see.
It's, you know, because I think last year they were like, well, maybe we won't do it, and everyone was like, no, please do, we want to see what everyone's doing, you know.
definitely, yeah. I feel like I know these women because I've seen, you know, read about their homeschooling journey for like 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Yeah, I love that. And then I think like for books, I would recommend Read Aloud Revival.
Yeah.
You know, she has like a fantastic list of like really good quality literature. And she's actually got, I don't know if you've seen, she released a new book called The Read Aloud Family recently.
Yeah, I'm about a third of the way through it at the moment.
Okay, yeah, I'm about halfway through it. And it's just so fantastic, you know, kind of really encouraging you to just make reading aloud kind of central to your, you know, homeschool and your family. Actually, even if you're not homeschooling, isn't it? Yeah. It's just, she's saying, even if you can just do 10 minutes, kind of really focuses on your relationship with your child through books, you know.
Yeah, Sarah McKenzie is like super infectious as a person, like,
yes,
you can't listen to her, like listen to her podcast or read what she has to say without being like, yeah, come on, we're fired, yes, up, we're gonna do it, kind of thing. It's brilliant.
Yes. Yeah, she's very enthusiastic. Yeah, oh bless, she's lovely. But yeah, and then I guess my friend Kate from mylittlepoppies.com,
yeah,
she has a website where she lists all the games,
yeah,
the by game subject
theme. Yeah,
and it's really great because sometimes I'm like, okay, we haven't really done any history in a while and I know they're just not going to want to sit and listen to me read or anything like that, so I'll go on her website and I look at all the kind of games that she recommends, and it's just fantastic. It's like a really great resource, I mean, for me, because, you know, we're really into playing games.
Yeah,
she's got like, you know, history games, geography, science, like logic, one player games, you know, non-competitive games, so yeah, she's got fantastic list. Yeah, I think, I mean, I could go on and on.
I know, it's dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, I had to like kind of be really like, okay, just select a few.
Well, they're all fantastic. They, you know, they're the big hitters, I think, really.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's do book recs.
Okay. Oh God, this is another really hard one. This is like, you know, we actually read so much, and we actually, you know, we listen to a lot of audiobooks. Like, yeah, Audible is our best friend.
Yes.
But I guess, okay, if I had to choose one that we all really, really love and we've read and listened to multiple times, it would be the Green Ember series by S.D. Smith. Have you heard of them?
I haven't. My son, my eldest, is 9 and he loves them so much.
Okay. Yeah, they're about like rabbits with swords, you know, fighting wolves, and it's, yeah, kind of like, you know, good versus evil and being brave and forgiveness and doing the right thing. And I think anybody who's read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe will love these books because they're, you know, they're just really character forming books, but done in a really beautiful way, not like preachy at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, the story is just so captivating. And like I said, even though like we've read it so many times, like all the books, my kids will still say, please, one more chapter. You know, they'll just beg. So, yeah, I definitely recommend the Green Ember series. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much. So where can people find you? Where can people find you online if they want to see what you're doing?
I'm kind of only on Instagram because I'm a little bit allergic to social media.
Fair enough.
I find if I'm on Facebook or whatever, I am on Facebook, but I don't use it. I only go on there for resources. But otherwise, I just get sucked in and it's like, you know, my kids will be like, are we going to do school today? I'm on Instagram, just Dakshina. At Dakshina, and I kind of share a little bit about what we do, some books that we read, games we play, things like that on there.
You have good book recs on your Instagram.
Oh, thank you.
I will stick a link to your Instagram in the show notes if that's okay with
you. Oh, yes, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I've really appreciated it.
Oh, thank you for having me. Great fun.
Thank you very much. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talked about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Homemade Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Homemade Voices podcast. This is episode 3. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcasts, as it helps more people find out about it.
The Home Ed Podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Henrott. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher or anywhere else where podcasts are found. This is the third of three opening episodes, so if you've enjoyed this, please check out episodes 1 and 2, which are also available. I'll be back with episode 4 in 2 weeks, and until then, here's to more home ed adventures.